On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports number 98. As we get closer to the 100th episode of this particular podcast, we have our resident Raptors expert. Some people balk at the term expert when I describe him this way, but Matty Lang is with us. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Thanks for having me back. Yeah. I do have to say, when we're throwing words around like expert, I usually feel a lot better coming on the show following a Rob Christie episode. But today you got me coming on after Nate Sager. So, you know, expert is really in loose quotation marks today.
we can handle that. I wanted to start with, because you and I exchanged some tweets on Grey Cup Sunday. You are historically not much of a Grey Cup or a CFL fan. You are, however, a big time football fan, a fucking Patriots fan. I want to put this out as bluntly as what the fuck's your problem? What's your beef with the CFL, man?
Where do I start with this? I don't know. You know what? I feel like it's a little bit of a bad rap because as I was, you know, we were going back and forth, I was getting some tweets from just random people on Twitter about this too, which kind of made me laugh. Listen, like most Canadians, I watched the Grey Cup.
Yep.
It was a great game this year.
For sure.
No different than I watched the national championship for college football. Mm-hmm. Same thing for college basketball. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily a huge fan of those sports.
Right.
But there's, as a sports fan, there's something about a one game playoff.
Sure there is, yeah.
Or, you know, winner take all. That's appealing, you know, just in its basis.
Mm-hmm.
It was an exciting game. Listen, they're two very different games. Much like the NFL and the college game are two different games.
Right.
The Canadian National Football League American rules are two different games, right?
Yep.
You and Nate talked about that on one of your recent podcasts. Mm-hmm. One of my biggest issues with the CFL is its quirky Canadiana-ness to it. I mean, I know we're going off of McGill rules here that we're like over 100 years old, so take it for what it's worth, you know? And yes, I had to take that back when I did gym in university. So let's get that out in the open. That Canadiana to it, you know, it just, I don't think we need to be relying on that to sell the game. So things like the Rouge, where people all get upset that, you know, how dare we take a missed field goal point out of the game. Having a best Canadian player in a game where we mandate having a number of Canadians play the game.
I agree with that. I mentioned that on Unforced Errors there on Sunday night. I don't There's no need for that. If a Canadian wins MOP, awesome. But otherwise, yeah, it's a little much.
It seems contrived to me, right?
Yeah. So
I mean, unless it was Mike Vanderjagt, in which case,
sure,
you know, that's
drunk Canadian. What did Peyton Manning call him? That's drunk Canadian.
clown kicker, was that?
Yeah, something like that. Something, yeah. Here's something that has always been interesting to me, and maybe it's because as a Canadian football fan, there's not much of a leg to stand on here. But Canadians who love the NFL and don't like the CFL, a lot of them feel compelled to tell you the CFL sucks and remind you that it's a minor league product and beat you over the head with it and claim they hate Canadian football. I don't know a lot of Canadian football fans who hate the NFL. I mean, there's lots of things to hate about the NFL, like in terms of the, you know, Roger Goodell. I don't like, you know, some of the criminal stuff that's been condoned here lately, but that's off the field stuff. And there's no doubt some dirty cats in the CFL as well. I don't feel like there's nearly as many Canadian football or CFL fans that straight up will not watch the NFL like there seems to be on the other side, where this view of the NFL is great, but I hate the CFL or I won't watch the CFL. And it's strange to me because it's a different version of the same sport. Like, it's, if you get football, you can pretty quickly pick up what's happening in the CFL. It's not that crazy different, right? It's a bigger field and there's one fewer down. Beyond that, you move along and you understand, right?
One thing I love about the Canadian game is actually the bigger field.
Yeah.
I do really like that. Especially with all the talk of concussions now with football, maybe a bigger field, almost like an Olympic size, would be more preferable.
Right.
I mean, the football players aren't 6 feet tall and 170 anymore. You know, they're, what was Warren Sapp, like 6'7", 6'4", and 330, something like that.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe a bigger field might be safer. Let's just...
Yeah, you're never gonna save the linemen or the running backs, right? But there's way fewer huge open field headshots in the CFL than there are in the NFL, and that maybe is a strike against it. A couple of fewer big hits per game in the open field, but in terms of safety, that's a great point you make there.
Yeah. Now, I guess coming back to this point, and I don't want to call the CFL a second-rate product because I don't think it's a second-rate product. I just never feel, well, there's two things here. One, the NFL does a great job at getting you engaged with their product, much better than the CFL does.
Yep,
right,
that's true.
We know about their star players. Even the casual fan knows who Tom Brady is, knew who Peyton Manning is. Most of your listeners' girlfriends know who Aaron Rodgers is,
right?
Or at least his brother from being on The Bachelor. Bachelorette, right? Like,
but all these names, right? People, even if you don't know at the NFL, you've heard the name Drew Brees, right? Or Marshawn Lynch, or these superstars around the league, Russell Wilson.
That's it. It gets you to at least care about a certain team or a certain player. And let's be honest, the other thing that's great about it, and I did this Sunday, was I sat down in the morning and I watched NFL right up to the Grey Cup game.
All day, yeah.
When the Grey Cup finished, I went back to NFL.
Right.
You know what to do on a Sunday if you've got no other plans.
Yeah. Usually you're recovering from your Saturday night plans.
That's
it's a great recovery tool. Yeah.
that does help me a little bit, right? You and Nate touched on it with the, I was going to say the Raptors, but the Argos. You know, what was bad about the Argos this year? I have no idea what day their home games are on.
Right.
But I know they're like Wednesdays and Thursdays, maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
No idea. I don't know when to turn on. I don't know where, like, I know where the stadium is. It's a 10-minute walk from my place.
Right.
But I don't know what day to kind of get ready to go to a game or even turn it on TV.
Yeah.
So I think that hurts it. You know, you're going to have trouble getting people to watch the game and start to appreciate the game.
Well, I definitely think that you are a Toronto guy, born and raised, right? And so as the Argos go, so goes the CFL in Toronto. And the Argos haven't had a ton of success, right? They've got a couple of Grey Cups, but they're kind of one-offs, and they don't really have these dynasty moments, and it's so easy for the CFL to get lost in Toronto, and especially if you're going to, like, they're the only team in the league who played a Tuesday night game this year. Like, who the fuck is playing football on a Tuesday night and taking themselves seriously, right? So it's an interesting thing that the Toronto end of it, whereas here in Ottawa, right, it's a reasonably big city. It's 1 million people or whatever, but But beyond the Senators, this is it. This is our other big. So it feels bigger, right? Like it feels bigger in Winnipeg and in Regina and Calgary and Edmonton, where there aren't the Raptors and TFC and the Marlies and the Leafs. And
yep.
It's a tough sell in Toronto for sure.
For sure. And I caught a red black game this year down at TD Place, and it was a lot more exciting than the last time I was at a live Argo game.
Sure. Yeah.
I haven't seen one at BMO Field yet since they moved, but having it at TD Place, it was a lot more exciting. The fans were a lot more lively and into it. The whole place was plaid, right? Like it was really easy for a non-fan to kind of get into the game.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. I think that plays into it a little bit. Toronto has shown that it can get behind a winner, right? At least a little bit,
but
and I don't know if this is ownership or how this all works out, because again, I'm not the guy who's super familiar with the CFL, but got guys like Ricky Foley and Chad Owens who started becoming household names in the city, and they're gone.
You know, it's true.
Ricky Ray's still around, but he's hurt. He's kind of done his career. He's
old, yeah.
Right. If you ask most Torontonians who they're who an Argo is, they might still tell you pinball
for sure.
Damon Allen,
yeah.
Doug Flutie, like we've gotten, like, without the media feeding into it a little bit here in Toronto, it's very hard, because like you said, we've got the Blue Jays and it's 162 games and it's all summer long,
right?
We've got TFC who's getting better, and now they're in a Eastern Conference final, so they're at the front of everybody's minds too. The CFL season ends as the Leafs and the Raptors are coming on. It's a challenging marketplace.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's just interesting to me that there seems to be, and not necessarily you, although you have shit on it from time to time, which is, but there seems to be a desire from a lot of NFL fans to just reply to any tweet or anything about the CFL, like, why are you watching this when good football is on, right? Like, that was happening during the Grey Cup when the NFL's on the other channel, just... You know, well, why is it so important to you that I like what you like, right? Like, why is it that I can't watch this particular football game? And we get it. The best of the best players end up in the NFL. There's more money. It's a far bigger deal, a far bigger league. That doesn't mean that you can't enjoy both. And I go through, and I'm not trying to convert you, phases where some seasons I'll watch quite a few NFL games, but almost every season I'm watching the playoffs. But I've got maybe part of it is a rooting interest thing. I give you shit for being a Patriots fan because I can't, but I don't really have a team now. I kind of followed Peyton, you know, I was a Colts fan and then I was a Broncos fan, but you know, from time to time you get into a different team here and there, but I don't have whereas you know, both in Toronto when I lived down there and in Ottawa now, you have a team right here that was local. It's the CFL is kind of my primary football. And then once it ends, you know, we're approaching the playoffs here now in the NFL. And that's a fun time to get into that too. It just, for some reason, it doesn't seem to work the other way. I don't know many CFL fans who won't watch the NFL. I know lots of NFL fans who won't watch the CFL. It's just kind of a weird view that it's a minor league kind of thing. In a way it is, I guess, but it's,
that's one of the issues I have, and I do watch a lot of sports, right? You know this, so
yeah.
I'll flip on a game every now and again if I get home, and if CFL's on, I'll have it on for a little bit. But sometimes the quality of product isn't quite there.
Yeah.
Now the one thing is, I mean, you can say that about the NFL or a couple teams in the NFL, right?
Sure.
I love the NFL. I'm not going to sit around and watch a Jacksonville Jaguars play the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
They're just not good at football.
And you don't have
to. That's a known fact.
As you mentioned,
right?
On a Sunday, there's 16 fucking games or whatever there is. And whereas in the CFL, there's 9 teams. So there's probably only one or two games on today. And if one of them is between two bad teams, it's not fun.
That's right. And I mean, even in the Grey Cup game, right, we saw Bo Levi just jacking up these awful throws, right? And you're watching it. And thank God the game was actually exciting. So it kept you engaged in the game. But there was a couple throws I call them, you know, they're the CFL throws. The quarterback drops back and just guns it 50 yards, just hoping for the receiver to get anywhere close. And I'm, that route running just drives me crazy. There's no route running. They're just running straight up the field because you can have extra movement at the line of play in CFL.
Right.
And they just gut it. And that, to me, it's a little bit like schoolyard football when we were 10 years old. You're just throwing it up in the air, hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Couple plays. I can't remember. It was when Calgary was making the little comeback there in the third quarter. I can't remember the guy's name now. But Bo Levi did put a nice pass to about the 1 yard line, and the safety should have picked off the pass or at least hit the receiver, and was about 5 yards behind the receiver.
Right. So I do remember that. Yeah.
Even the receiver kind of caught the ball and kind of fell into the end zone and kind of looked around like he was surprised. little things like that. That just, if you're used to watching. Again, you want to call them the cream of the crop.
It's a little more crisp, yeah.
It's a little more crisp, right?
Yep.
Like you and Nate yesterday were talking about Malcolm Butler picking off that pass at the 1 yard line, right?
Yeah.
That play just doesn't happen in the CFL, right? Like his reaction time, the way he read that play. Yes, I have a cheering and rooting interest in that play as well. Let's not kid ourselves, but like it's just little things like that that you see. When you watch enough NFL,
right.
That it does make it a little more challenging to stay super engaged with the CFL at times. It's a little akin to me to watching college football, where you have some really great playmakers and you have some not so great playmakers.
Yeah. I found they're Canadian, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
But it makes for exciting games, right? That's what people also love about college football. They're exciting games.
Yeah.
Because you do get to see individual skill a little bit more, right?
Yeah. And the conversion that I kind of liken it to or whatever is, and maybe it's not, and it's actually not quite the same drop off, but a little bit towards junior hockey. When you go to a junior hockey game, man, it's the mistakes that make it fun, right? That kid's going to make a terrible play at the blue line, turn it over, and there's a 3-on-1 going the other way that you just would never see against a great defensive NHL team, right? And it makes it entertaining. It's those mistakes sometimes that... So, I mean, it all depends on your perspective, right? I look at the CFL through rose-colored glasses because I'm a fan, and so my reaction is obviously to defend it and go, yeah, okay, the fact that guy's not as good in blue as play means... You know, we got a sweet touchdown out of that or whatever whatever happens, right? So it's all perspective, really. And
well, now you know the best answer to any American football fan is always to ask them if they're a college football fan.
Yeah.
And if they watch some of those, you know, number one ranked or number four ranked versus, you know, Navy games, right. You can tell them to shut it.
Yeah,
you
know? No, it's true. The main reason we wanted to bring you on was we didn't really get a chance to preview the Raptors this year. Part of that being, honestly, we got into it a little bit through the playoffs and going into the off season on what they were going to do. When I look at the moves as a casual fan at best perspective, there was nothing that they did over the off season that blew me away and that led me to believe that their ceiling had changed for this year in terms of this is all just a march where best case scenario is you face the Cavs in the Eastern final and get smashed home. From what I can tell, the team got off to an okay start. There's been a bit of a mixed bag. What have you thought of the team through the first month or so of the season?
They've been kind of what we expected, with a much tougher schedule than almost anybody else in the league, quite frankly.
Right.
They've shown that they can shoot the lights out.
Yeah.
Just repeatedly.
Well, DeMar with that crazy start of the season.
Crazy start.
How many
right?
did he and go? Over 30 points. Was it 12 games or?
It was something like, 12 of 14 or something.
Yeah.
It was absolutely insane. I mean, everything he was just jacking shots up from everywhere on the court and everything was falling, right?
All right.
And between him, who started to hit some three-pointers, but Damari Carroll, Kyle Lowry, and Terrence Ross, the three-point ball has been dropping. So, I mean, they have no problem scoring, right?
Yeah, I also saw they gave up 100 for like 5 or 6 in a row or something.
Yeah, and that's a little bit, that's a variance, let's call that, right?
Okay.
They had a chunk there in the last... 9 games where they had to play 4 of the top 5 offenses.
Right.
So you had Cleveland, Golden State, the Clippers, and Houston. And if you add to that OKC with Westbrook who scores 30 points a game anyways, that's a pretty tough murderer's row of what you got to do on defense and most of those games away from home as well.
Right.
So I mean, yeah, it looks really bad from that 1-5 or 5-9 game schedule there. And you heard the whispers coming from the casual fans in Toronto, like, geez, here comes the regression. What's going on? We're not good. What we know is they're the fourth or fifth best team in the league.
Right.
That's not a surprise to anybody. You've got Golden State and Cleveland. You got the Clippers and the Spurs. And then it's probably the Raptors. The Raptors are unfortunately in a place right now where we've got maybe the best backcourt in the league, quite frankly. Maybe, outside of Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of hoping for everybody else to develop with them to be Cleveland. And that's right. What we need. They either need to hope that Valanciunas becomes what he isn't. Is that rude? Is that?
It'd be great if we could play that on all our favorite teams. Well, if this guy all of a sudden turns into a super, if Matt Martin becomes Sidney Crosby, the Leafs are in great shape.
He is the softest 7-footer you've ever seen play basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell Westbrook is out rebounding him right now. I mean, Russell Westbrook is out rebounding a lot of people in the league this year, but there's no way your 7-foot Lithuanian center should be out rebounded by a point guard.
No, probably not.
That's just that's not acceptable, quite frankly. God.
Yeah, terrible.
But I mean, they do have the best supporting cast, and one of the stat lines right now is how good they are when it's their second unit.
Right.
Or some combination of their second unit plus Kyle.
Yeah.
On the floor. You got guys like Norman Powell, you've got guys like Siakam, even Bebe has been better than his normal crappy self out on the floor this year. So there has been some growth, and they were really expecting kind of an internal growth to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Masai has shown that he doesn't do big trades a lot. However, the whispers continue to be, will the Raptors take a run at Boogie Cousins?
That's a great name.
I can't, isn't it? I know. I can't see it happening just because of Masai's history as a general manager, or now I guess he's president general manager. I can't see it happening. It's a little bit more interesting than just Toronto kind of versus everybody, if you want to quote the shirts, and then Cleveland.
Right.
There are some other teams who had made some nice moves this year, like Boston and Atlanta and Chicago Bulls. They're going to provide a little bit of entertainment this year. The sad thing is it does look like Toronto is the cream of that kind of mediocre crop.
Right.
And will lose in the Eastern Conference Final. That being said, I mean, anything can happen. There's a reason you play the games, right? And a sprained ankle or a twisted knee, and the Raptors could be headed to the finals.
Or missing the playoffs.
Or missing the playoffs completely, right?
The sprained knee happens on the other side of the ball. Yeah.
That's 100% true. And the Raptors got really lucky last year with very minor injuries for most of the season until Valanciunas got hurt against Miami in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So,
at the worst possible time.
Yeah, the worst possible time. The one time he was finally playing great basketball,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are some variables there. The Raptors are going to finish second or third in the conference. And what they can't get caught up this year in is trying to chase Cleveland for that number one overall seed. They need to focus on actual development of their players. And they got caught with that last year because when Valanciunas went down, we really had nobody to stick into that role except Biombo.
Love
and
that
as good
guy.
As Biombo was, listen, ask anybody in Orlando how much they love him for $17 million a year this year.
Okay, fair enough.
but another great name.
Sure, yeah. It's no Boogie Cousins, but it's...
I want one podcast where you just talk about nicknames you love.
Yeah, or real names.
Or real names.
Yeah, just great. Boogie Cousins, that's fantastic. Raptors should go ahead and go. I don't care if they have to trade everybody. I just want Boogie Cousins in Toronto.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll finally get you in a Raptor jersey that way.
Oh, for sure. But it's going to say Boogie, not Cousins.
I would assume his would as well at this point.
Nice. I think you kind of answered this a little while ago. Short of injuries, though, have you seen anything out of Toronto or Cleveland that would lead you to believe that possibly it could go differently this year?
There's no way. Yeah. Cleveland might actually be better this year than they were last year.
Dope.
Yeah. There was some talk this year about how Kevin Love came into camp this year. apparently there was a little bit of an injury that they played down last year, so he came in very underweight and out of shape.
Okay.
This year he came back in at his normal weight, and he just looks amazing out there. And with that stretch four playing the way that he used to in Minnesota for years, it's trouble. It's trouble for the entire Eastern Conference. Because at least last year, where he's such a liability on defense, but he wasn't doing much offensively. If Kyrie has a bad day, if LeBron has a bad day, you can beat them.
Right.
Now you got a true big three out there, plus Tristan Thompson picking up the slack on defense, and it's tough. It's going to be a tough go to beat these guys. The Raptors don't have that inside presence, right? Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the big thing for them. When you're playing a team like Cleveland with Kyrie, who just can shred through into the paint, right? You need a big guy in the middle who can stand up, who can get in position, and who won't get called for a foul every time.
Right.
And the same thing goes for LeBron James, right? When you got a guy that big coming down at you, you need to be in position. You got to be big enough to take the bump. And again, you need to be a big enough name that they're not going to give you the call as well.
Right.
That's the one thing about the NBA when it comes to playoff time in the fourth quarter. You're going to get the call if you're a certain guy.
Yeah.
And LeBron always gets the call. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Toronto's rarely going to get that call, no matter who their guy is.
It's a little frustrating. I want to say it was the Clipper game with the Raptors where they lost. And DeRozan's going in, and at the time he was the leading scorer in the league, right? He was on that incredible run of 30-plus points per game. And he still wasn't getting a call. And you're just looking at them like, what more do you want from this guy?
Yeah,
like
no regard.
He's won a gold medal. Yeah. He's been on the All-Star team. He's leading the league in points. Still can't get a call in the fourth quarter.
It's one of those things that seems to kind of, with the Blue Jays also, and some people get way too carried away with it, but this talk that these sports don't want Toronto going deep, and I've never been one that believes it goes down as far as the umpires or the referees or whatever, but there is no way around the fact that the NBA and their sponsors and their television people, along with MLB, they're not served by a Canadian team going deep. The advertising dollars go down, the name value goes down, the ratings go down, because it all gets split with the market that they don't pull from, right? That ESPN gets $0 when Toronto ratings go through the roof in either sport. So I've never totally bought into the fact that these leagues are actively out to screw you, but I do feel like they're also not actively out to do you any favors, because you don't really help them as a Canadian-based sports team. The NHL aside, obviously, with the nature of the sport and whatever.
I it's hard to argue that until you watch the Blue Jays lose to Cleveland this year, where the Blue Jays just looked clearly out of their league.
Yeah.
When that series came down to it, there was nothing to do with the umping, nothing to do with the scheduling.
That's right.
It was just they got beat.
Yep.
It is a little more apparent in the NBA because the refs take a little bit more of a prominent stage because of the predominance of fouls and how that all plays itself out.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to turn on those repeats from last year's Eastern Conference Final between Cleveland and Toronto and see some of the bad calls. Yeah, that being said,
do you not
think
that's just bad NBA officiating more than out to actively screw Canada? Sorry,
that's kind of where I was going with it, because I didn't see any of that in the two previous series against Paul George in Indiana or against Dwayne Wade in Miami Heat. And that's where I thought it would have happened, right? Because if you're the NBA, you want the Miami Heat with Dwayne Wade playing LeBron James and his Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
So if there's a time you're going to screw the Raptors, that's where you're going to screw the Raptors.
Well, and it's
right?
long before they get to the East Final, when you're in your Final Four and hoping for all these big ratings. You don't want to screw the Raptors then. You've wasted a round of money, right? Like it's
100%.
You'd want to do it much earlier.
100%. Now, I've kind of wondered, maybe we never had to wonder for a while because the Raptors were bad, the Leafs were bad, the Jays were bad.
Yep.
We weren't in the playoffs for a long time here in Toronto, so these issues never came up.
You're not a Toronto Rock fan?
Yeah. I don't know what their big money deal is with ESPN, so it might not be an issue.
ESPN 8,
on the Ocho.
Right.
What's that, Cotton? So I don't know. Maybe there's – I know Rogers has a deal here for Major League Baseball. I don't know how the deal works. It might be TSN here and for basketball when it comes to playoffs. I'm not too sure. But maybe they have to look at a way to split that or get those shares differently. Or maybe just broadcast it from the U.S. and, you know, TSN just broadcast the American version of it all season long.
But the problem there becomes they still don't get – TSN gets the ad money, right? And that's where the problem is.
Gotcha.
Game 7 between the Raptors and the Cavaliers, right, should you get there, the money to buy a commercial in that game would be through the roof. And ESPN won't get it. TSN gets it. And that's why they don't want Toronto going deep, is because – that's a market where they're not pulling in the money, right? So, you know, just the products are different. The companies are different. It's hard to convert the ad revenues. So that's the where it seems to get lost. And, I mean, we've kind of gone off on a tangent here, but it is interesting because the Raptors do seem to be, you know, along with the Blue Jays right now, you hear this stuff now and then that they get in deep and the American networks really want no part of them, to be honest with you. Like, it's,
and it is interesting because you look at, I think it was the Toronto, Texas viewership and then the Cleveland, Boston viewership. And, you know, we know Boston outdrew Toronto, yep, Texas, but it wasn't by that much.
Right.
But then if you add in the Canadian viewers, there's no competition.
Right. Well, and,
right? And you look at that, I think that's the same thing when you look at, you know, your nightly viewership in basketball or in the NBA, specifically in the U.S., it always outdraws the NHL. But,
oh, sure.
But marginally, right?
Yeah.
It's not a huge margin.
Yep.
And then you add in the Canadian viewership, and it's not even close, which is the more popular sport.
Right. Well,
but you're right. If the Americans don't get the money, who cares?
Yeah, and so, I mean, even like you mentioned that MLB series, but let's say, because I don't know off the top of my head, but let's say Boston's a city of 4 million?
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So they're drawing a certain amount of that 4 million. And our market, the Toronto market, is 30 million because it's across all of Canada. So even if they both draw, let's call it 20% of their market, which is pretty high, Toronto's going to be way higher. And Rogers is going to pull all that in, and ESPN's not going to get a sniff of it. And so they'd rather have the Boston, Cleveland, right? It's way smaller than Toronto, but it's at least in the U.S., and they're going to get their money out of it. So it's an interesting thing to see how it works. And like I said, I don't think either team has had the officials actively go out to screw them, but I don't think they actively do them any favors. So
yeah, they're not going out of their way to help the Raptors make the NBA finals. Right?
Right. Or, you know, hey, it's Canadian Thanksgiving, so maybe we want to put this Blue Jays game on at a better time. No, we don't care about that. Right. Like, it's little things like that, that they just don't care very much. And maybe they shouldn't. You're one team out of 30, but you wouldn't see the Yankees playing at a time slot that, you know, whatever. You wouldn't see the Lakers. Well, maybe you would now, but there was a time where, yeah, you know, in terms of scheduling and little things like that, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox are always going to play in prime time. The Raptors are going to be, or the Blue Jays or the Raptors are going to be on at 4 p.m. and back, you know, it's just one of those things. It's the reality.
It is one of those things for the Raptors and I guess the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of that, it's not, you know, the Leafs are never going to have that issue.
No.
If we can make it back to the playoffs,
yeah, they're never
going to
have that issue because they're never in a big game. Yeah. Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Walked into that one.
You are right. They will never have that issue. But no, it's interesting. And so it does look a lot like on the Raptors side of things, it's status quo unless something drastic changes between now and the playoffs. It is
status quo, and the Raptors are already, for the most part, done their toughest stretch of the season.
Right.
They've already done part of their West Coast swing. They'll have another one around Christmas time, around the New Year's break, because of the junior tournament.
Right. Everybody's out of the ACC.
That's right. So the Raptors and the Leafs got to take off to the West Coast for 2 weeks, I believe.
Yeah.
There's a really good stretch of Raptors games coming up soon as we move into next week, actually, where they've got a kind of a week-long schedule of Atlanta, Cleveland, Minnesota, and Boston.
Oh, wow.
So three of those games are fairly important.
Yeah.
to their playoff and to their seeding. And that's where we're really going to see where the Raptors stack up, because they haven't played Boston yet and they haven't played Atlanta, two of the teams that made some big moves this year.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they do. The thing for Raptor fans is it's going to be about watching them progress. It's not about the win-loss total. We don't need to win more than 56, 57 games again to keep progressing. We now need to get the team ready and into a system to march through the playoffs, not go to so many seven games, maybe wrap a series up a little bit earlier than that for once.
Not be life and death in every game.
That's right. I think it's we got knocked out in six against Cleveland, but before that it had been four series in a row that went to seven games or something crazy. Yeah. Like, it's taken, you know, days off the lives of Torontonians here. So we need to figure that out. They need to progress as a team. Going to the playoffs is a foregone conclusion at this point, so now it's just getting the team ready for that, right?
All right. Well, maybe we touch base on the Raptors again after that big stretch coming up and see if things have changed. But always fun having you on, Matty. I appreciate this. And even if it's not the Raptors, we can always stand to get your take on a few things. Maybe especially if the Patriots are going to do something here this year. Probably have to have you on to gloat a little.
We should just book that right now then.
Great. That's fucking fantastic. That's Talk and Sports. Thanks, Matty.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, we'll see you this down the road.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.